Chodesh Adar, Guten Chodesh, Chodesh Tov, everyone. And as you know, we're all preparing for Purim. A number of curious minhagim on Purim. As we know, there is the minhag of wearing costumes, which is particularly strange. You know, why we do such a thing. We have also, the Gemara says, Chayav Adam Libesume Bepuria Ad Loyada, the obligation to drink more than you normally do, whether it's a matter of actually getting drunk, inebriation, or just getting drunk enough that you'll have to lie down, or that you cannot do a gematria. I mean, I can never do a gematria, so I'm always yotzer. So, leaving aside the various arguments about that, it's a strange type of mitzvah to have, right? A, costumes. B, drunkenness, inebriation. It's a very strange thing. So, we'll try to explain that as well. So, but if you look at the sources, we know that the beginning of Maseches Megillah starts with the variation of times, dates in which different villages and towns read the Megillah. And we know that that Mukafim, Choyma, that cities which are surrounded by a wall read it on the 15th, Yerushalayim, for example. So, can't think of many other examples, but Yerushalayim. And cities without a wall will read on the 14th. And it's interesting, so the Gemara there says, and if you look at towards the bottom, it's a little out of order, sorry, Talmud Yerushalmi, Krachim Hamukafin Choyma Mimois Yashua Binun Korim Bechamisha Osar. Cities that have walls from the days of Yeshua read on the 15th. Now, this is a little problematic, the Gemara points out, because the reason we're reading on the 15th in a walled city is presumably because Shushan, which had a wall, they had an extra day of vengeance against their enemies, and they rested, which they fought on the 14th, as it says in the Megillah. On the 15th, they rested. So therefore, the rest of the cities fought on the 13th. We have Tanis Esther, although this year it's a different date, but we have Tanis Esther, and on the 14th we rested, and that is when we read the Megillah. Whereas in Shushan, the capital city, which had a wall around it, so Mukafim Choyma, so people fought on the 14th, rested on the 15th, so then we celebrate on the 15th. If so, it would make sense that the definition of a walled city, even if it doesn't have walls now, would be a city that has walls at the time that Shushan had walls, which would make sense. However, if you look at the, we say here that it's Mimois Yeshua bin Nun, not from the days of Shushan, but from the days of Yeshua bin Nun. Why is that so? So Reb Simon, B'Shem Reb Shimon ben Reb Yeshua ben Levi, says, what's the reason? Chilku kovod le'eretz Yisrael. They wanted to give kovod, honor, to the land of Israel. Shahaisa chareva bo'oisen hayamim, that at the time that Shushan had walls, Yerushalayim didn't. Yerushalayim had suffered destruction under the Babylonians. Yerushalayim's walls were destroyed at that time. So if we would make the din of Krachim Hamukafin Choyma Mimois Shushan, back to Shushan, that would mean Yerushalayim would be defined as a less important city, a city that doesn't have walls because at that time it didn't have walls, and that would not be appropriate. So Chazal wanted to be Chilku Kovod L'Eretz Yisrael, the one to be covered to the land of Israel, and hence they did it, right? Talu Oisoi Mimos Yeshua bin Nun. They therefore made this halacha dependent on the days of Yeshua bin Nun. And the Rambam says this very explicitly, Shushan Abira Afobish Lohaisam Ukefes Choyme B'mei Yeshua bin Nun. Shushan, even though, in other words, he's already saying this, knowing that the halacha is that we define it by Yeshua bin Nun, so therefore Shushan is a surprise. In other words, in the original, in the Gemara Yerushalmi, it's titled like Shushan is not a surprise, Yerushalayim is a surprise. But the Rambam's saying that Shushan is type of surprising, even though it didn't have a wall in the days of Yeshua. Nevertheless, we read on the 15th. Why? Because the Nes, Shebahayah Nes, Shnema, says, Noach b'chamisha asaboy, v'lama talo adavar b'mei Yeshua. The Rambam says, why did they make it dependent on the days of Yeshua? So we see very clearly the Yerushalmi, the Rambam, it's also a run at the beginning of Megillah, that the idea of having the reading of the Megillah on the 15th in cities that had walls from the days of Yeshua bin Nun is not because historically the Nes happened in Shushan. It did happen in Shushan, and that would have been the logical city to follow. But we wanted to give honor to Eretz Yisrael, which was Chareva, destroyed at that time. The walls of Yerushalayim were destroyed, so therefore we make it dependent on the days of Yehoshua bin Nun. Okay, so the question that we have to, one question we have to address is that is the idea of the that in this particular Yontif, in this particular mitzvah, there is a strong desire of Chazal. Our sages desired lachloik kavod le'eretz Yisrael. It is certainly true we always want to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael, but it seems that it's a central part of this takana and this decree of the reading of the Megillah is designated this way, k'day lachloik kavod le'eretz Yisrael, to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael. It's like prominent at the beginning here. So let's try to understand that. So if we look back to the beginning of the outline, we have the very famous Gemara in Shabbos. Rabbonim always say things are famous, so you feel embarrassed if you don't know it. But this is actually very famous, so you should feel right. So the Gemara Shabbos says the following: Vayisyatzvu betachtis sahar. They stood under the mountain. Now, simple translation, you probably say they stood at the slopes of the mountain, the base of the mountain, you know, Everest base camp, tachtis Everest. So it doesn't mean literally under, but Amar Rav Avudimi bar Chama bar Chasa melamed shekofa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem HaSahar Kegiyus. This teaches us that Hashem held the mountain over them like a barrel right over them. V'omer lohem, and he said, Im atem mekablim haTorah mutav, if you accept the Torah, that's fine. V'im lav, if not, sham tehei kvur aschem, there under the barrel, under Mount Sinai, that'll be your grave. So there was a coercion involved in the giving of the Torah. And there are many explanations for why there was coercion. I will not go into them. That's not really the subject. Some say the Maharal points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want the Jews to be, so to speak, it would be a marriage, a normal marriage, in which divorce is possible. Here was a marriage, so to speak, of an anusa, where according to Halacha, in the case of a rape, lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yomov, the husband has no option. He has no right to divorce her ever. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, coerced the Jewish people. It was a marriage, a shotgun marriage. And consequently, the halacha, the law, that he may never send her away, applies to us. It's to our advantage. Lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yomov. It's the Maharal's understanding. And also, the Maharal understands that it doesn't necessarily mean that literally the mountain hovered over our heads. What it means is that the revelation was so powerful and so great that we had no other choice other than to accept the Torah. In other words, the reason we have Bechira, the reason, or rather not so much the reason for Bechira, but the mechanism that allows for us to have free will is concealment of the true reality. If we would see the reality of the world as it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality, the effect of our actions, the effect of our action, our negative and positive actions, you'd have to be crazy not to choose the right thing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a concealment, and that concealment allows for us to have the ability to choose. So at Har Sinai, Kafaleim Har Kegigis, so to speak, there was a tearing of the veil of concealment to the extent that that we had no choice. So be that as it may, the Gemara says, Kafaleim har kegigis, he held the mountain over our heads. And now, Gemara says something interesting. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, by the way, I have the translation underneath here if anyone. Right, Mikan moida rabba le'oraisa. This is a And moida rabba, it means a great objection. What do I mean by an objection? If you sign a contract, you go to court after, you go to the Beis Din afterwards, and you say, I have evidence that I was coerced into signing. Right? It's a moida, meaning you're detracting from the validity of the contract. So he's saying moida rabba lo reisa. What's the objection here is we were coerced, so why are we liable? I'm a rabba. So Rava answers, he says, I know you have this objection, afal pikein, nevertheless, hadar kiblua bimei achashverosh. We re-accepted the Torah voluntarily in the days of Achashverosh after the Purim story. Dixiv, kiimu v'kiblu hayehudim. Kiimu, mashe kiblu kat. L'kayem means to fulfill something which already exists. Lekabel means to accept. So kimu v'kiblu means they accepted something that, in other words, had it just said kiblu, that would be a new acceptance. But it says kimu v'kiblu, meaning they re-accepted something that they already had accepted, and that refers to the Torah. So that's how the Gemara discusses it. Tosfos, which I've quoted here, asks a fairly obvious question, which is the first Tosfos we've quoted here, that what do you mean? Jews have said, nah, this week's parsha, the Jews said, naaseh v'nishma. Not last week's parsha, sorry. Right, we just laned. The Jews said, naaseh v'nishma. They voluntarily accepted. How do you tell me they were coerced? They voluntarily accepted. So Tosfos answers that, yes, they voluntarily accepted it, but immediately, maybe it was Tokadei Dibur, I don't know, they wanted to retract because they saw the great fire. What does it mean by the great fire? I guess they saw the awesome responsibility and the awesome consequences of the Torah, and hence they said, well, we're retracting. So the moidarab, the kfiya datit, right? The coercion here was to keep them on the straight and narrow. That's Tosfos' answer. The Medrash Tanchuma, which I haven't quoted here, in Parshas Noach, asks the same question, and the Medrash Tanchuma's answer is that they willingly accepted Torah Shebichsav, in other words, direct communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to mankind. Okay, God tells me to do it. Of course I'm going to do it. What they were coerced on was Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, which comes through the intellect of the human being, that they were not so sure of. Later on, they accepted that willingly. It's a Medrash Tanchuma's answer. Okay, but be that as it may, whether it was, as the Medrash Tanchuma says, a coercion on Torah Shebaal Peh, but even if you say that, the fact is, as we know, it's impossible to keep the Torah Shebichsav without the Torah Shebaal Peh. You can't really do one without the other. If you're not accepting the Torah Shebaal Peh willingly, then the Modar Rava, the objection, still applies. As the Ibn Ezra points out, try and calculate a calendar, a Jewish calendar, based on what the Torah says in the Torah Shebichsav. What does the Torah say about the calendar in Torah Shebichsav? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. This month shall be the first of months. And one other statement. Shomer Es Chodesh Aviv. Guard the month of spring. Of course, this totally clarifies it now, because we have two psukim, right? I mean, seriously? How do you possibly make a calendar out of those two psukim? Impossible. And many, many, many other examples of that. Vezavachta, you shall slaughter of your cattle and flocks, kasher tzivisicha, as I commanded you. Gemara and Chulin says, where did Hashem command us how to slaughter an animal? So obviously, the Medrash Tanchuma doesn't help us with the Moidah Rabbah. In other words, the Moidah Rabbah is still there, i.e. the objection is still there. Okay. And the Gemara's answer to that objection, to our original Kabbalah, is Hadar Kiblua Bimei Achashverosh. They re-accepted it in the days of Achashverosh. Now let's look at the Ramban. Right? Just before I get to the Ramban, the second Tosfos I have here, where just in the middle of Tosfos, Oimer Rabbeinu Tam, right, that he asks, Rabbeinu Tam says, wasn't there a bris that Moshe Rabbeinu made in Har Grizim and Har Eval? They came into Eretz Yisrael, they re-accepted the Torah. So he says, Oimer Rabbeinu Tam, al pi adibur haya, v'harei keba'al korcham. He says, even so, Har Grizim and Har Eval was also type of also still Baal Korcham against their will. Aval bimei Achashverosh kiblu midaitam me'avas hanes. In the days of Achashverosh, the Jews accepted it totally voluntarily out of love for Hashem because of the nace that he did. Okay, so that is, now let's look at the Ramban. The Ramban asks a very obvious question on the answers. The Gemara's answer was, you're right, the Jews were coerced, but they accepted it voluntarily when? Right after Purim. How long after the Kabbalah and Torah was that? A long time, right? A long time, right? We're talking about probably from Kabbalah Satara to the Binyan, the first of Bayis Rishon was 480 years. Bayis Rishon was another 410 years. So we're talking about 1,000 years, right? After, okay, 1,070, 1,000 years after. So the Ramban says the following. Hada amrinam binyan agoda. Hamoida rabla raisa. That which it says in this Agarata, that there's an objection to the acceptance of Torah and it was re-accepted late, the answer is, don't worry, it was re-accepted willingly in the days of Achashverosh, kashali. I find this problematic. What is this Kabbalah? How does it help retroactively from the end of time to the beginning of time? Right? If I was coerced into something, then from the time I was and I re-accepted it 1,000 years later, well, what about the interim 1,000 years? How does that later acceptance in the days of Purim, how does that help me for the middle 1,000 years? You hear his question? Im kodem Achashverosh lo hayu mitzuvim, if before Achashverosh, the Jews were not really commanded because we accepted it by coercion, Lamanensha, why were we punished? Were we punished during those 1,000 years? Well, the reason we were in Babylon Persia was because we were punished, right? So he says, so how does that help? If im nemar, so you'll tell me maybe, mipnei she'avarol gzeiros malkam. He says, maybe you'll tell me, well, they were punished because God said to them, do A, or don't do B, and they transgressed, and therefore they should be punished. Im kein batla moidazu, so there is no objection in the first place. Because if God comes and tells, let's say there was no Kabbalah Satorah. Let's say there's no Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God comes to you and says, listen, Mordechai, I want you to go and get a slice of pizza. Go, right. And I say, I prefer not. But that's an Aveira. God explicitly told me to do something. I say no. That's an Aveira. Whether there's a Kabbalah, no Kabbalah, there's no. So he says, Memonafshach, the Ramban says, if they re-accepted it 1,000 years later, how does it help for the previous 1,000 years when they were punished? If it's a real objection, it should be objection for the previous 1,000 years. And if you tell me, well, you don't really need an acceptance. If God comes along and tells you something, you have to do it anyway. He says, what's the purpose of a Kabbalah? There is no Moda. There is no objection. Either way, the Gemara is very problematic. Are we following the Ramban's question? Right? As there's a very old statement. The Mabit quotes it in the Tshuva that Rabbi Yosef Karo said to him. I don't know if it's, it probably goes back earlier than that, but he says, She'elas Chacham, right? Chetzi, right? The question of a Chacham is Chetzi Tshuva, is half of the answer, right? It's a good, but we have to understand the question. It's a good question. Va'od, furthermore, Lama Hitzricha LaKabbalah Obris, if you're telling me that the very fact that I said means automatically you have to keep it, so if so, why do you at all need any type of Kabbalah and Bris in the first place? I mean, the whole of Har Sinai is based upon this Kabbalah. Naseh, kol asher dibar Hashem naseh, naseh v'nishma. What are you here for? Hashem tells you, you do it. Irrelevant, you don't need a Kabbalah. So those are the questions of the Ramban. Now let's have a look at his answer. And the question's a great question. I mean, not that he needs my agreement, but it's a good question. Nearly, Loimar, it appears to me to say, Mitchila, Afa Bishahay Lehem Moedah, Mikomakam Lehnosan Lehem Aretz, Elekadeshi Yikam Torah. He says, yes, there was an objection, but Hashem only gave the Jews Israel on condition that they accept the Torah. Kamoshe Mefurish B'Torah B'Kam HaParashias. Very clear in the Torah that the land of Israel is given to us for the express purpose of fulfillment of the Torah. As the Ramban says in numerous places, the whole Torah is dependent upon the land of Israel, not just the mitzvahs, which are directly dependent, mitzvahs atluyas ba'aretz, but the Ramban says all of the Torah, ultimately, requires that we be in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, "Vayitan lahem artos goyim va'amal u'umim yirshu ba'avur yishmur chukav v'saroisav yinsoiru." As the Pasuk says, he gave us the loot of nations and the land of the other nations in order that we should keep his covenant and keep his Torah. So he says, so one thing is clear, God only gave the Jews Israel in order to keep the Torah as conditional. The gift of the land of Israel is conditional upon keeping the Torah. V'heim atzmam mitchila lo ikvu b'davar klal v'lo yamru b'mor daklum. And also, by the way, after Har Sinai, did the Jews object to the whole bris of Torah? No. Did the Jews make the modar? The Gemara says it. But the Jews themselves, he says, they never said anything. It wasn't like after Har Sinai, the Jews said, wait a second, we were coerced. They didn't do that. They didn't say that. He says, Eila, beratzon nafsham ma'atzman amru kol asher dibesh na'aseh v'nishma. They actually said, na'aseh v'nishma. They agreed. So, lefikach, she'avol ala Torah amad v'higlam in aretz. When they were over, when they transgressed the Torah, so immediately Hashem said, okay, you got the land of Israel in order to keep the Torah. You've now transgressed the Torah. Get out. Out of Israel, to Babel. Okay. The Mishegalu Masru Moida ala Davar. When they were exiled, that's when the Jews raised the objection that we were forced to accept the Torah on Har Sinai. Very interesting. And then they said, and that's what it says, it's a medrash, it's a Gemara as well, Mi'asiv ha'oyla al ruchachem ha'yolosia she'atem oymrim niya kegoyim kishkhois ha'adoma, kach amru ba'agada. Right, the Jews, right, the Gemara Sahedrin says, Jews came to Yechezkel and said, Rabbeinu Yechezkel, Rabbi Ezekiel, Eved shemachroi rabbi, klum yeshayalav, a slave who was sold by his master. Does the master have any further connection to him? Does he have any? No. They said, we were sold into slavery. We are now in Babel. We are under the Babylonians. So Moidara and our initial acceptance of the Torah was coercion. So we should be exempt. So the Jews said. The Yechezkel says, hi, oh Lord, see here, it's not going to happen. No. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still yours. You're still a Kodesh Baruch Hu's. And then in Yemei HaShveirus, like now, to understand this Ramban, raises a couple of issues here. First of all, what the Ramban does not mean. What does the Ramban not mean? I don't think he means, as I heard from my Rebbe Reb Moshe Shapiro, Harini Kaparis Mishkovo, that the Ramban does not mean to say that there is indeed a valid objection to the Torah, to that acceptance. And it's just that the only reason they kept the only reason they had to keep the Torah is because Israel was given as a on condition of the Torah, and therefore when they kept the Torah, if they wanted Israel, they had to keep the Torah. As soon as they stopped keeping the Torah, they're thrown out of Israel. He says, why does that? Is that not explanation of the Ramban? Two reasons. A, the Ramban himself says, "Heim atzma mitchila lo ikvu b'davar klal." The Ramban himself says that the Jews right after Har Sinai didn't raise the Moidah Rabba objection. They only raised it when? After exile, number one. Number two, the Ramban's explanation doesn't explain all the terrible punishments and sufferings that the Jews went through in addition to the exile. If it would be just a simple reading of the Ramban, you got Israel on condition to keep the Torah, you don't keep the Torah, you have to leave Israel. Okay. But was it just a matter of leaving Israel, or was there also a lot of other suffering involved as well? There was terrible suffering. Jews died in war. Jews died of starvation, of disease, etc. There was terrible suffering on the way, dehydration on the way, the famous stories in the Medrash, the Gemara and Gittin, right? Terrible stuff. Enslavement, etc. So that's not explained by, you know, I give you something and you transgress the conditions, I take it back. Yeah. You know, you transgress the you didn't fulfill the conditions of your car lease. So, you know, Nissan is not gonna come and send thugs to beat you up and burn down your house. They're just gonna repossess the car. That's right. Yeah, it's like I, I didn't do the conditions at least. Okay, take the car back. Nothing else. Yeah. But that tochacha is part of the Torah that was given by coercion.
Right, but it explains what happens if you don't keep it.
That doesn't seem fair. According to the, if you take just the simple explanation of the Ramban, simple reading of it, which is that indeed there's an objection. Indeed there's an objection because we were coerced. Our only obligation to keep it is because the Israel was given on condition. So then the only punishment should be take away Israel. Because all the other stuff which comes because I transgressed the Torah, if the Torah is given by coercion, so I'm not. So it can't be that that's the explanation of the Ramban. It cannot be. It doesn't make sense to say that. And the Ramban himself doesn't say that. So this is, I think, I heard from my Rebbe. This is the explanation of the Ramban. It says this. When the Jews initially received the Torah at Har Sinai, it was in a state of revelation. And that state of revelation, by the way, didn't stop at Har Sinai. It continued. Right? We said Kiflayim, there were Nevi'im, prophets amongst Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says, Kiflayim Kiyotse Mitzrayim. Double the number of Jews who came out of Egypt. There were in other words, we had prophecy. So from the time we received the Torah, we had a continuous revelation. Where was the revelation? Well, first of all, the Mishkan. The Ramban, Nachmanides, the Ramban says that the Mishkan was type of like a portable Har Sinai. Right? The revelation that happened on Har Sinai, the unity on Har Sinai, the Shekhinah of Har Sinai, that continued with the Mishkan. Did it not continue with the Mishkan? The Mishkan was where HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, spoke to Klal Yisrael. The Mishkan was, there was a continual Gilui Shechina in the Mishkan. And when the Mishkan, because by the way, Har Sinai lost its Kedusha. Hema Yaluba, as soon as Bimshoi Chayovel, as soon as the whole event was over, cattle are grazing there, people are, you know, snowboarding, whatever it was doing, right, people, Har Sinai was open territory. So what happened to the Kedusha? Kedusha, as the second law of thermodynamics says, is never created or destroyed. The Kedusha was moved to the Mishkan. That became Har Sinai. And when the Mishkan was put into Geniza, where was Har Sinai now? The Beis HaMikdash. That was the new Har Sinai. That was where we had the Sanhedrin, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebalpeh. That was where we had Gilui Shechina, the revelation of Hashem. That was where we had the Nevuah of the Urim V'Tumim. And we had a continuous revelation that there was a reality beyond time and beyond space took place there. Right? The Aron HaKodesh didn't take up space. On anything that was on top of the Mizbeach, we said once it's on top of the Mizbeach, the issues of time don't create a psul because it's so much, that's the interface, heaven and earth, time, space, irrelevant. So there was a Beis HaMikdash, the connecting point between Shemayim and Aretz, was Har Sinai. Har Sinai. And we had Nisim continuously, miracles, and we had Nevuah continuously. There were Nevi'im. People, you lost something, right? You would go to a Navi and say, where are the lost donkeys? And the Navi would tell you, right? Where'd I put my car keys? Right? So the Nevi'im would tell you, we had Nevuah, we had communication continuously, right? Much better than Siri. So we had this. So Klal Yisrael, and that's what the land of Israel was about. The whole of the land of Israel was a place of revelation. It was a place of Nevuah, as the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi points out. Nevuah was always Ba or Big Lala. All prophecy was either in Eretz Yisrael or about Eretz Yisrael. That was the place of Nevuah. That was the place of Gilui Shechina, the revelation. So all of Israel, so to speak, became like a great Har Sinai, I guess with the peak being the Beis HaMikdash. And so the Jews were in a situation where they were always at Har Sinai. There was a Har Sinai. In a sense, we were living in a Sinai-type revelation, a Sinai-type situation. And that Sinai-type situation continued throughout that throughout that time. Now, the reason you need a Kabbalah is that the Jews, it was a bris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael entered into a covenant. It wasn't just Hashem gave us a gift. If I give you something, I depart, I leave, you've still got the gift. That's it. I just gave you a gift. It's your birthday, I give you a gift. End of story. Right? Drug company sends a doctor a nice little desk set, right, with the name of the drug, hoping that even if it's not appropriate, he'll just see that name and say, oh, you know what, take that. Right? I mean, what, I don't know what their kavanah is, but it's a type of, right, so they do that. Right? That's a gift. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave us the Torah, it was not just a gift. It was a bris, meaning a covenant and a relationship between two parties. That is the meaning of a word bris. It's a relationship between two parties. Ana nafshi, the Gemara, right, says, right, it's a notarikon, that the word anoichi, the first word of the Aseres Hadibrois, so the Medrash Rabbah there says, anoichi is a notarikon, it's an acronym. Ana nafshi kesivas yehivas. I, my very essence, kesivas, I wrote yehivas and I gave it. Hashem is saying, so to speak, I gave myself to you. So the reason you need a Kabbalah, an acceptance, is because it's not just a gift. It's a bris. It's a covenant. God and the Jewish people are going to live together as, we know, as man and wife. Right? We have in the Haflah, in the introduction of the Haflah on Ksuvos, he has a lengthy, lengthy discussion about how Har Sinai was a direct fulfillment of all Hilchus Kiddushin and Nisuin, etc., etc. Some of the Mefarshim say, we say the Bracha and Sheva Brachas, HaMekadosh Hashem Yisrael Yedei Chupa V'Kiddushin, that refers to Har Sinai. Because in Har Sinai, Chupa was first, then the Kiddushin. First the Chupa, the mountain over the head, then the Kiddushin, which is the Luchos. As opposed to our normal marriage, where the Kiddushin comes before Chupa. So here it's a matter of a bris. And the Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, understood that the bris that we had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that relationship, was a relationship in which there was open love, in which there was open revelation, there was prophecy, there were miracles, there was the Shekhinah, it was the Israel-type situation. And they understood that. And they lived that. And there was no reason for a Moida'a. There was no reason for a Moida, because that revelation that was the coercion, there was a continuation of that bris with the same revelation. The Jews assumed that their covenant, their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was a relationship in which there was very open revelation. Very open revelation. As it was when we came into Israel. Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Am Zukanisa. The Gemara says that refers to Bia Rishoina, Bia Shnia, the first entry into Eretz Yisrael. The first entry into Eretz Yisrael, Chazal Sayim Brachos, Zubia Rishoina, Kriyas Yamsuf, the crossing of the Red Sea, continued even when the Jews came into Israel, because we know, as the Gemara says, what happened to the Jordan River, the Yarden? It also split. So that The situation of open revelation, the situation of open miracles, the situation of the Sinai-type situation, that continued when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Bia Shnia, the second, Ad Yavor, Am Chashem, Ad Yavor, Am Zukanita, that was a different type of entry into Israel. The Jews came into Israel the second time after Purim. How did we enter Israel? Was it with miracles and wonders and revelation? Splitting of the Jordan? Open miracles? No, how did it work? We had permission from the local. We had permission from the king. Right? We had permission. We came in. We had to get planning permits for the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Dariavesh said, yeah, build it this way. Put a layer of this. Put a layer of wood in, so if I have to burn it down, it'll collapse quickly. The whole work, right? We have to do all of that. It was a very different type of situation. When the Jews came to Bavel now, when we're exiled from Israel, you know why the Jews came to Yechezkel and said, Rabbeinu Yechezkel, Rabbi Yechezkel, Eved Shemachra Rabbi, Klum Yeshalaya, because they thought now that we're in Bavel and we don't have Gilui Shechina, we don't have the revelation, we don't have prophecy, we don't have open miracles, the covenant doesn't apply. Because that covenant was made in what type of situation? Open revelation. Open. Obvious. Did that continue in Babel? The Jews said, no. We're in darkness. We are people living in darkness. It's the end of Nevuah. It's the end of that revelation. And so Klal Yisrael thought it is over. That's when they raised the Moedah Rabbah. The objection was that original covenant that you made with us at Har Sinai, we didn't object to it back then. Why? Because the revelation continued. Because the miracles continued, because the communication continued, because the prophecy continued, because Har Sinai was with us at the Mishkan and in the Beis Hamikdash. So we didn't object. But now that we've been thrown out into Babel, now that we're in the Hester, now that we're Hester, as in Megillas Esther, Esther is from Loshon, Aster, Haster, Astir Panay Mehem, we're in a state of concealment. We don't see that revelation, so as far as the Jews were concerned, they said the bris is over. That's what the Moedah Rabbah was. That's what the Ramban means. Now, Yechezkel comes back and tells the Jews, I've got the Gemara and Sanhedrin down there. Ezeh Sefer Chrisus Imchem. This is so yeshivish. I'm quoting a posuk in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. It's actually a posuk in Yeshaya, but it's in the Gemara, right? You know. Like a guy once said to me, isn't it a posuk in Bava Metzia? I said, well, yeah, it right, so it's okay. Anyway, so Ezer's, like, I remember Moshe Shapiro once saying that he heard from someone, he says, there's a guy who knows the posuk existed because he saw the tzois quote the Gemara, which quotes the posuk. Okay, anyway, so I'm fulfilling it. Right. Ezer Sefer Chrisus Imchem Asher Shlachtia. What? Did I send the bill of divorcement to your mother? Mimenoi Shai Asher Macharetia. Did I sell you to one of my creditors? No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So, what happened on Purim was the following. That the Jewish people saw that even that the covenant exists and the love exists even in a situation where we don't have revelation. Even when we don't have Nevuah. If you look in beginning of Pirkei Avos, I didn't quote it here, but everyone knows it. Beginning of Pirkei Avos, what does it say in the Mishnah? Moshe kibel Torah Masinai, umasara li Yeshua. Yeshua l'zkenim, zkenil neviim, unaviim mesaruha la'anshe kneses agdola. Twice in the Mishnah it says, mesaruha. Okay, Moshe kibel Torah Masinai, umasara li Yeshua. Moshe received the Torah Sinai, he gave it to Yeshua. And that continued. That Sinai continued. Yeshua l'zkenim, zkenil neviim. From Yeshua through the zkenim all the way through the neviim, there's no need for another verb. It was a continuation of Har Sinai. Moshe kibel Torah Masinai, masorah l'Yeshua. That continued till neviim. But when do you get a new Masira? And neviim! Neviim Mesarua the Anshe Knesset HaGedola lived at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. Mordechai was one of them. Kuf Chaf Zekanim Umehem Kama Neviim, 120 elders, and amongst them a number of prophets. That was the end of the era of prophecy. That was the beginning of a new era. It was the end of that type of, but the bris between Hashem and Klal, what Jews saw on Purim was, even though there was no open miracle, even though there was no open prophecy, even though there was no revelation, even though there was no Gilui Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love and covenant and relationship with the Jewish people was just as strong. And they saw that at that point, and that is Hadar Kiblua Bimei HaChashverosh. They accepted the reality that the Torah was Torah, that the Torah was Torah, and the bris was a bris, even in this situation. And that is actually the Gemara in Yuma, where it says that Moshe said, "Akela Godala Gibor VaNoira." Gemara in Yuma Samach Tes. Yirmiyahu came and he says, "Nochrim Mekarkarim Behechal." There are Gentiles who are crowing with pride in the Beis Hamikdash. Where is Ayei Nora Oisav? Where is the awe of Hashem? And Daniel said, Nachrim mishtabdim bebanav. Gentiles are subjugating his sons. Daniel himself taken to Babel, right, working for the king. He says, Aye gvuroisav. Where is Hashem's gvura? What did the Anshei Knesset HaGedola say? Anshei Knesset HaGedola, Hichziru atara l'yoshna. They returned the crown to its former glory. And what did they say? Adarabba. On the contrary, Hein Hein Gvuroisav, Hein Hein, the fact that the Jewish people exist in the midst of exile, that exist in the midst of thousands of enemies, 70 nations surrounding us, in the midst of the Security Council, and so on and so forth, the fact that Jewish people exist and thrive, Hein Hein, that is the very example, not Adarabba, on the contrary, this is a primary example of Hashem's relationship with the Jews continuing even in this situation. That's what they say, Adarabba. Not only, Adarabba means not only is our situation in exile not a kasha, a problem of Hashem's gvura and Hashem's noira, Adarabba means, on the contrary, it's a proof for Hashem's gvurois and for Hashem's noira. It's not only is it not a question on our covenant with Hashem, it's actually proof of the continuing covenant that one lamb can live among 70 wolves. Yeah, you had a...
It's very interesting that in the first source you mentioned Shemois, but in Vayikra, Parshat Kedoshim, Kedoshim Mitzvah, Kedoshim Diyu, Zion, you find the obligation with Torah, the Rambam, the sixth day, the seventh halacha gives this particular source before we, then, as you mentioned, Torah. So you mentioned.
Oh, okay, but that's the right. I don't think I mentioned Tofa, but okay. Yeah, someone else did. Okay.
So time has to develop to establish the nature of the Tofa that we've given to the Dei Doris. Imagine in Yuma, Samaches, the most stringent form of Tofa that we've given in a separate second. So I give it to the last.
Can I just stop you for a second, because I think we're going off the track here, right? I don't want to lose the track here, but I personally did not mention Tochacha, someone else did, so it's not really the issue. Let me just take the question at the end. So now, yeah.
Just what you mentioned was, I think the Yavit says the same thing, that Chay Rosha, that this is the bigger nation than even exists.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, no question, no question. But I think that's inherent right there in the Gemara's expression. The Gemara says, Adarabba. Gemara says, au contraire, actually Gemara probably said punkt verkehrt, right? Pretty sure they spoke Yiddish, right? So the Gemara says, on the contrary, right, that is the proof, that is the great evidence, and that is actually is what is happening. Now, when the Ran and the Yerushalmi and the Rambam, when they say that in Nes Purim, they want it to be lachloik kavoid le'eretz Yisrael, we understand a little bit, because Eretz Yisrael was Chareva at that time. It was destroyed at that time. What we're trying to say here is the following. That same Hanhaga, that same Bris, the same covenant that Hashem had with the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael when the walls of Yerushalayim were fully built, that same Bris continues, the same love continues even when the walls of Yerushalayim are Chareva. So we are reading it in the cities that have a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, as a way of saying this idea that indeed the covenant has continued, the Ava has continued. It's not something which is not, yes, Yerushalayim, the walls are Chareva. There's no walls around the city of Yerushalayim. I mean, there are walls, but they're of much later origin, right? But indeed that is. That's what's been revealed here. What's been revealed is the idea of, yes, even though the walls are destroyed, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, our connection to Hashem and our bris with Hashem is just as powerful, is just as strong. And I think this might be one of the meanings behind the costumes. That the costumes is what? Concealment. That, yeah, I might be wearing... wherever it is, you know, I dressed as a redneck last year. I had got these great redneck teeth on the internet. It's an amazing thing. As soon as I put them in, I could feel my IQ drop by about 40 points. Hey, you know, I'm sort of like unbelievable. Anyway, but even when we have the costume, what we're saying is that's only externalities. Who is the real me? Beneath the costume. Even though we have the appearance of concealment of Hashem, even though we have the exile, even though we have the oppression, even though we don't have Nevuah, but within, in the Pnimius, we still have that connection. Maybe also, what does drinking do? So drinking gives you a lack of clarity. It obscures the seichel. It obscures the seichel. Right? You don't have the clarity. You don't see things that well. But when we do see, what we're saying here is, even when we don't see with great clarity, we don't have the clarity of Har Sinai. We don't have the revelation of Har Sinai. We don't have the Nevuah, unbelievable clarity. What do we have? We have confusion. We have kashas. Torah Shebal Peh, as the Medrash Tanchuma says, is based on Ha'am Hayoshev B'choshech. You sit in darkness, then Hashem Or Lahem. Then you have the light. The light that we get from understanding Torah through Torah Shebal Peh is a great light, because it's a light that comes from the midst of confusion and darkness. Talmud Bavli, our great light that has lit the way of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, throughout the exile, came from where? Bavel. What does Bavel mean? Huh? But Bavel means confusion. Nivla Sham Sposom. It comes from the... Right? So, but on the contrary, that great light and our understanding of Kodesh Baruch Hu from the midst of this darkness. So, yeah, within the wine, so to speak, with the confusion of the Seichel, I can't do the Gematria. I can't really, maybe speech is a little slurred, etc. Right? But nevertheless, within that, the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly there. You know, we have a food common on Purim, the Hamantaschen. Right, which there are all types of weird and wonderful explanations why it's triangular. You know, somehow Haman has become a Vulcan and his ears are triangular. I'm not exactly sure where we get that from. But really, you know, historically, it is based on the fact that Daniel and his friends went into Golos. They went to Bavel. They were a group of teenagers seconded by Bavel as being... As they should work for us. So what happened? If you look in the book of Daniel, we are told that the satrap, the servant, said, "Listen, you guys are thin, need to fatten you up. You have to look healthy. We have to teach you Chaldean, etc." And what did Daniel say? "We'll only eat seeds. We'll eat seeds. We'll drink water. We're not going to defile ourselves with the non-kosher food of the king, Pas Bagamel. We're going to eat seeds, Zeroinim." And the servant says, "What do you mean? He'll kill me. If you guys don't look healthy after a week or two, I'm dead." So Daniel says, "We'll be fine. We'll eat seeds and water will be fine." So the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says, Hilchas Purim, that it became customary to eat machal zir'oinim on Purim, to eat seeds on Purim. Seeds, poppy seeds on Purim. Now, poppy seeds, what's the Yiddish word for poppy seeds? Mon. So being Jewish, we're not just going to eat poppy seeds, right? We're going to mix them with honey and raisins and stuff, and we're going to wrap them in flour and dough and cover it with sprinkles and bake it, and we'll have pockets. What's a pockets in Yiddish? Taschen. So we're going to have mon taschen. We'll have pockets of mon. And we eat mon taschen. So someone at some point in history added a hay, and people come up with weird theories about why what has got to do with Haman? Ears, hat, head. I have no idea. Right, but they're montaschen. But to a certain degree, it commemorates this very same idea. Every time I say montaschen, my children collectively roll their eyes at the nerdiness of Abba. Right, so so I've stopped calling them montaschen at home because I just can't stand it. You know, so but they are. But again, it represents what? Daniel, he's a Navi. But what's he doing? He's in exile. He's working for the Babylonian king. He's eating seeds and water. He came from being a prince in Israel to an apprentice in Bavel. And yet, his devotion to Hashem was just as great. And Hashem's devotion to him was just as great. And the famous song that has been making the rounds based on a statement by Rav Nachman of Breslov, right? Afilu b'hastora, shebetoicha hastora, even in the concealment, in the midst of the concealment, the worst possible concealment you can imagine. Haman standing over us, right, with the threat of absolute annihilation. Taf v'nashim shlolam lavoz b'yom echad. Right, the whole works. And then in the midst of all that, in a way which involved no open miracles, which involved no nevuah, the Jews saw God's love. Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim. So now, as Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam says, they were makabel mitoch avas ha'nes. Through the love of the nes, they recognize Hashem's love is there. Right? You mentioned Tochocha. There was what we call Tochocha Megula V'Ava Musaseris. Open rebuke. Hidden love. Right? Not as, you know, not so hidden. Not so hidden. Revealed beautifully on Purim. Now that, I think, is the explanation. And then, which is, I think, the idea of Lachloit covered Eretz Yisrael, and that may be the idea, as I heard from my Rebbe, that's this. Basically, this is all based on Reb Moshe Shapiro, Olba Shalom Herni Kaporos Mishkova, that's his understanding of that Gemara and of the Nes, what's happening on Purim, the Modar Rabbah, and the Hadar Kiblu of Me'ach HaShveirosh. And when we do have that, then La'ihudim Haisa Oira V'Simcha V'Sosim V'Kar, even in the midst of darkness, as Shabbos wanes and as we end Shabbos, so it's dark, it's night, but we always say that pasuk, La'ihudim Haisa Oira V'Simcha. What do you mean? It's just becoming dark. The day of happiness is over. Right? The day of glory is over. We're taking off the shtreimel. Right? We are putting away the Shabbos stuff. We are right back into the work week. Right? Answering emails. Shem Yerachem. Right? We're going all that, and yet, what do we say? Laihudim Haisa Oira Vasimcha Vasasim Vikar. Yeah, even in the midst of the Hastara, Laihudim Haisa Oira Vasimcha Vasasim Vikar. Kenti Hielanu. Everyone should have a wonderful Purim, and thank you very much for coming. Right.